think our mics are on. Hey, our mics are on. Hi, Kyle. Good evening. Good afternoon. Good morning. That's what we say. Good morning. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. We are live at Pia's. Is this our last show at Pia's? We got one more.
For now, it's the last one.
For now, yeah. Just for this season, for this football season.
Last one currently on the books.
On the books. All right. But listen, they go to a bowl game. We could probably figure out a way with the boys here to get a show here one more time.
I'm sure. Yeah.
So the
maybe
reason,
inside in December.
Right. We are outside, by the way. There's a group of people, a bunch of people inside at Pia's. We have two
softies,
people out here. Benny's
softies
out here as well. And yeah, softies.
There's some tough people left in this world, so we appreciate those.
And Diana's here, so she helps set everything up, which we always appreciate. We're going to be giving away some tickets today for Illinois football. Do we have some for Illinois basketball? Yes, we do. So we'll be okay. That's right, the Pia's fan bus tonight. So the reason we're a little flustered is you looked at me right before we started the show, Derek, and you're like, whoa. Some news from the Big Ten and Tony, is it Petitti?
Petitti, yeah.
Petitti. So what exactly is the news from him?
I got to give him some credit because I wonder if he was going to have a lot of teeth in this disciplinary action as far as Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, and it just came down into the front page of ESPN. As I was checking that app, it says Big Ten to ban Michigan's Jim Harbaugh from the field. So here's the details on that. According to ESPN's Pete Thamel, Harbaugh will not be allowed to coach during games throughout the remainder of the regular season. That, of course, means this weekend against Penn State, the regular season finale against Ohio State, the two biggest games on Michigan's schedule throughout the season. They really haven't been tested yet to this
point.
Good point. He is allowed to coach in practice during the week, but he will not be allowed to be involved during games and on the sideline for the Wolverines throughout the remainder of this regular season. We'll see what Michigan's action is going to be in response to this. I don't know. I'll have to read through the further details as far as whether there's an appeal process, whether they can say, hey, we're going to appeal this
for 2 weeks
and get Jim on the sideline this weekend there in Happy Valley. But I think that obviously this is going to satisfy some people for the moment as they dig into more details and whatnot. There's just too much evidence out there right now that's become very, very public on social media and whatnot of this happening and Michigan's just blatant involvement in cheating. So
no,
I think that this is a good start, and we'll see where it goes from here.
I was even impressed with Brett Bielema and the way he came out pretty strong about this and essentially said, hey, when it's all said and done, I've got a lot more to say. But, oh, by the way, and he kind of spoke on that topic, and he basically at the end said that it's ridiculous and disgusting should this be occurring. And obviously we know it was occurring even here in Champaign. It sounds like that they were trying to purchase tickets for Illinois games or did to come and scout an opponent, whether it be Illinois or one of their opponents that the Illini were playing. Normally, Derek, when suspensions and this kind of punishment comes out, normally you're always upset, right? It seems like it's never enough.
Right.
I kind of like what you said there. I feel like, you know, a lot of people will say, well, everybody does this. Everybody's doing it. Well, there is a law. There is not maybe a law. There's a rule in place that says you cannot physically go scout someone at another place. So in that situation, he broke the rule. Michigan has broken this rule. Of course, Jim didn't know anything about it. But I'm actually pretty impressed that the Big Ten and the commissioner, which really this is his first major, I believe, discussion and decision that he's had to make. I'm pretty impressed with the idea that he's going to come out and suspend. Like you said, I don't know yet in terms of the appeal process, but when I normally hear things about suspensions, it's underwhelming. This one I feel like kind of hit it on the nose.
Yeah, and reading through the rest of this, it does say that this will not halt or conclude the NCAA investigation that will continue on in terms of Connor Stallions and his involvement with Michigan. And obviously, I mean, he's been reported to have bought tickets to over 40 games, I believe, both in the Big Ten and potential college football playoff opponents that they were going to likely or potentially line up with. So this will continue on. If they find more, then the NCAA can come down with their own punishment, both for the program, both for Jim Harbaugh himself. So we'll see where that goes from here. I just think in the immediate sense, there would be a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths if Michigan was able to just cruise through the rest of this season with a lot on the table for them. But regardless, just go to the finish line without any type of punishment until the off season, until the season plays out, because obviously it's having some kind of effect on their outputs on the football field. I'm not saying, and you especially look at their schedule, would they have lost to Purdue? Would they have lost to some of these other teams, Nebraska on their schedule? Like, their schedule has been Cupcake City so far.
No
so,
doubt.
And it's a really good Michigan team. It's just the fact of them breaking the rules pretty blatantly and just kind of a strong point for a new Big Ten commissioner. And
yeah.
I know Illinois fans are as familiar with it as anybody in terms of Kevin Warren feeling like they gave Michigan a pass with the Big Ten
well, this
title
started with
basketball.
Him. This started with him as the commissioner, so Michigan just assumed we can do anything we want.
We can, yeah. But, yeah, I think that this, in the meantime, is a nice penalty that comes with some teeth in it. So I like
I
that
agree.
Out of Tony Petitti, and we'll once again, we'll see what progresses on forward.
It will be interesting, too, because Michigan is having a really good season, as you noted, but they really haven't played much in terms of their schedule, but that is coming up. As you mentioned, Penn State, they've still got, of course, the annual game with Ohio State. So we'll see what happens. And if you look back as to when this began, when they believe this began, the record is a lot better. Now, whether or not that's a coincidence, Derek, I don't know, but the record is a lot better. So obviously, kudos to the Big Ten, and we'll see what the NCAA does in terms of looking into this.
Yeah, for sure. I just think that Michigan obviously was trying to throw a lot of deflection out there here in recent weeks, especially the last two. When you see – it was through reporters who were then, of course, stumbling into unnamed sources that had certain things to say. Like, you know, there was a report on from On3.com, the Wolverine, I believe, is the actual Michigan website that said, hey, you know, sources are telling us that Ryan Day's brother, who's a private investigator, has been very much involved in this and maybe even alleging, no, not even maybe, they were alleging that he unlawfully hacked Connor Stallion's laptop and got a spreadsheet on, you know, all the places that he bought tickets to games and whatnot. And then obviously within the last week it comes out that, oh, well, actually – Ohio State, Purdue, Rutgers had all stolen Michigan signs and were passing it amongst each other. So there was a lot of attempts here for Michigan to try to say, hey, this is happening elsewhere. Hey, just kind of take a further look into this to try to identify what kind of competitive advantage really was had. But I credit Tony Petitti for having the narrow focus and blocking out some of the noise to just say, hey, we know enough that you guys did wrong, and in the meantime, we're going to hand over a punishment.
I also credit TCU for knowing about this in the bowl game or in the playoffs and going completely the other way to score 50-some points on Michigan and beat the Wolverines to advance to the title game. So obviously some teeth there if TCU knew what was going on and they were able to dodge the bullet and, in fact, use it against Michigan in that sense. Hey, we got karaoke tonight, by the way, from 9 to 1 right here at Pia's. We are at Pia's, Springfield Avenue. Now, it's $4 fireball shots all day. Now, it's cool enough that a fireball shot probably sounds good today.
Could warm you up, yeah.
Now, we'll be doing a lot of those tomorrow, but certainly kind of the, you know, you got to kind of lead into it a little bit, so we may have to get one of those down today. Fireball shots, $4.
What's up with Brad Underwood and company scheduling basketball games the night after a live show at Pia's? It's just killing my ability to partake in this stuff, and they should have that front of mind when they go into a schedule.
Let me go one step further. Jay Lehman is not here today because he's speaking at a school engagement tonight that I have to be at 6 o'clock that is furthering and hampering you and I having fun, because while we enjoy doing the show every day, well, I do it like 4 days a week now, but I enjoy doing the show, and especially when we come to Pia's, the after party is kind of what it's all about when
we come here.
And then now you got Brad Underwood doing his thing. Andrew's got some event going on tonight that I got to go watch. I'm like, are you giving a speech? He's like, heck no, I'm not giving a speech. Jay Lehman, though, will be giving the speech. Hey, they also have $5 bullet bourbons all day here at Pia's, so plenty of other specials that we'll tell you about, but certainly fireball shots, $4, bullet bourbon for $5. You got Coors Light drafts for $3.50. You can get bucket of Coors Light for $16.75. Twisted teas are $3.75. and also Captain Morgan drinks for $4. All right, we've discussed the Michigan situation. If we learn more about that, and I know you'll be searching that as we're here on the show. I'm sure Kyle back at the studio, if there's any sound that drops or anything, we may be able to get something on about that. But certainly there is a game tomorrow for Illinois. And at one point this season, Derek, I wasn't sure if our Veterans Day show here at Pia's, Veterans Day weekend show here at Pia's, was going to be one of which we talked a lot of football. I didn't know if we'd be staring ahead to the basketball season, which, of course, we will talk plenty about as Illinois welcomes Oakland to town. And then, of course, next week, a big showdown with number 5 Marquette, if they're still ranked 5th. I'm not sure. So that'll be something to engage and talk about as we go. But thanks to a win at Minnesota, we've got plenty to talk about now about this Illinois football team. 4-4, we don't know about Luke Altmyer. How much does that worry you? Obviously, with John Paddock coming in and doing what he did, which was unbelievable. I mean, he turned into an Illini legend. That day will forever be remembered by Illinois football fans. But with the possibility that Paddock will have to lead the show and not Luke Altmyer, how much does that worry you if that does indeed end up being the case?
Well, 4-5 chance to get to 500 with this win. 5-5, and of course you went out. You're 7-5, and we'll see what that means in terms of the Big Ten West and whatnot.
I don't count all the losses.
Which one are you?
I don't know.
I'm absolving. You just forgetting the Nebraska game ever happened.
Yeah, like that.
That's a good one to just pretend like it never occurred for sure. But
did they even play this year?
Yeah, I don't know. But I was there for a half,
right?
And then my son's like, "Yeah, it's time to go."
Well, he's smart.
He's smart. He's 1.5.
Yeah, but,
let's look at the quarterback situation. I currently, just kind of the vibe I'm getting, it feels like it's most likely going to be John Paddock.
I agree.
I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but when you talk to Luke Altmyer like we did on Monday and him talking about, getting his bell rung and just kind of going into the tent after that hit, and you see the replay, it seems like he's been in concussion protocol. I know Brett Bielema hasn't come out and said that, but for him to say yesterday, hey, he hasn't been cleared to practice, that gives me an indication that, well, it's not final yet, but they're probably preparing for John Paddock to be your starting quarterback. Of course, he was tremendous in that final drive. 3 fantastic throws, especially, the 4th and 11 to Isaiah.
Yes.
The deep post was right on the money over the top of the defense, was fantastic. And we'll see. I mean, it's a small sample size, but it saved your season. And he wasn't the only reason you won that game, but it was such a huge point of really a fork in the road where Illinois loses that game, they're 3-6, and this thing's really over, I think, in terms of a bowl game and how we feel about this season versus you win that game and all of a sudden a lot of these the rest of the way matter greatly. So I think in terms of John Paddock having that confidence coming off of last week is really, really important. He's been taking the starter reps in practice this week, which is obviously key for him to be in the best position to be successful.
Right.
I like that even though his season at Ball State last year, he threw quite a few picks and the numbers on paper weren't fantastic. I just like that Kyle and I talked about this yesterday, that I like that he's been in a situation where he's been a starter. He knows what a week of preparation is like when you're gearing up and you're watching film. And if this was Donovan Leary, who I know that Brett Bielema is probably still encouraged about long term, if it was a different situation, you're putting a young quarterback who hasn't been a starter before in this type of position, I'd be more worried.
Okay, that's fair.
I do want to give Luke Altmyer his due and say, hey, I think that he's been progressing nicely. I think his consistency is getting better. He's had moments where he still will make a bad throw or have some stretches where the offense goes stagnant and whatnot. But I feel all right, especially you look at Indiana, they're the 13th ranked scoring defense in the Big Ten. They've been very, very gettable. So I think Illinois can be productive offensively, even if Luke Altmyer is out.
Can we call Brett out on something? I mean, he was like throwing out Cam Swanson. Did you see that?
I did not see that. No.
Yeah, he's like, well, we might even throw him in there. We don't know yet because we have different styles of quarterbacks. I'm like, what? Kyle, am I wrong? Did he not say that? Did I not read that somewhere? And I was like, what is Brett? What's he talking about throwing in Swanson? I guess he could play. Then you still redshirt him. Do they still have that deal? I guess you can play one game, right?
Yeah,
you're not going to see him tomorrow unless Illinois is up big, maybe, and I doubt you even see him then. What does it change, Pipes, you think, about this Illinois offense? Obviously, again, coming in cold, Paddock was able to run the offense and take them right down the field. Now all of a sudden you're not walking on hot coals tomorrow when the game starts, where you've got to come in and be perfect, essentially, which Paddock was against Minnesota. But how much does it change, you think, the game plan? I mean, I think the game plan for Brett Bielema's squads is always to run the football.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, Indiana gives up a lot of yardage. I think the only team they haven't yielded like 200 and some yards against was an FCS team. So it's in that situation, I don't see that the offense would change a whole lot, because I think you're still going to gear it towards getting the ball in Caden Fagan's hand. It sounds like Reggie Love is going to be able to play a little bit as well. I think that's still the game plan, right, regardless of the quarterback.
Yeah, I think as far as what you're going to hang your hat on, that hasn't changed in terms of the running game. And you look at Indiana, the fact that I mentioned their scoring defense standing, and they've given up the most yards per game on the ground in the Big Ten, is over 160 per game. Although they've been better up front and stopping the run of late, that's been key for them in terms of playing better football. You look at the Penn State game, and we know Catron Allen, Nicholas Singleton are two of the better backs in the Big Ten.
No doubt.
And when Indiana is in the game actually tied with, what, 3.5 to go in Happy Valley, a big reason is because those guys didn't run wild. They combined for about 130 or so yards, about 3.5 yards a carry. That's pretty average for a pretty talented Penn State backfield. So you couple that in comparison with also they're playing Wisconsin last week. They, of course, win that game. There was no Braylon Allen, so that is definitely
right,
something to take into account. But Wisconsin was not able to just kind of pound them up front, which I think that they would have liked to have done and thought that they could take care of business as far as Indiana goes in that direction. So the biggest thing for me, I think, is that John Paddock is obviously not going to have the same type of running threat with his legs as Luke Altmyer would, because I think that he's not as athletic. Luke has shown that he can really take off and get a – if it's 3rd and 8 and the pocket breaks down, he can get out and run for a first down. He's had some bigger chunks than obviously 8 yards this year as well. You probably don't expect that out of John Paddock a lot. I think, though, game plan-wise, I think it's – the way that I'm looking at it is I hope that Illinois doesn't change a whole lot, because I think there's probably a tendency where you have a backup quarterback to try to really – come with a conservative game plan. Try not to lose the game. Don't put John Paddock in positions where you're asking him to do a lot. And I think that can make Illinois predictable. That could really slow down this offense. And that could leave Indiana in a situation where they can be in the game. I think you got to let him throw the ball a decent amount and not get scared. Kind of try to play off of the confidence of what John Paddock did late against Minnesota. If you come in and say, hey, we're going to give Caden Fagan 30 carries no matter what it looks like, even if Indiana's stacking the box and whatnot, then I think you're sputtering potentially,
that's
putting you in a tough situation. So I kind of hope that they still have in their mind, like, okay, this quarterback made some plays for us last week, a reason why we're in this position. Let's let him do some things. Yes, we want to run the ball like always, but let's not scale it back so much just because it's a backup quarterback.
I think it's probably funny that John Paddock's probably sitting here, like, reading this, hearing this, and he's saying, you guys know I've made quite a few starts in college, right? Just calm down. It's going to be okay. I'm going to go and do maybe not. I mean, he was Superman against Minnesota, but, you know, obviously this guy started every game for Ball State last year. He has a lot of experience with regards to that. He's not going to get under center and be, you know, in awe of a defense for Indiana. He's not going to get in the huddle and show any kind of fear. I mean, he's if nothing else, he looks like he's about as cocky as you can be. And I kind of like that, right? You kind of like the idea that he's going to go out there with a little bit of a chip on the shoulder if he is the starter and say, watch me go, boys. I'm going to lead this team to a victory today, and it's going to be just fine.
At what day in the week did Brett Bielema or Barry Lunny have to go to John and be like, all right, I know you've
That's
just
done.
Been taking in all the glory walking around campus, the different looks you were getting, you know, maybe, let's be honest, for maybe the female portion
Absolutely.
Of the student body that maybe you weren't getting before, and, you know, everybody wants to buy you a drink and come to CAMS, you'll never pay for or come to Pia's, I should
exactly.
say, and never pay for another drink in your life. But at what time during the week you're like, all right, let's let that one subside, and there's a real chance you got to start, so let's dial it back in.
He's a pretty good-looking dude. I don't know that he has any issues anyway.
You're right.
I mean, I'm guessing that it is a certain point where they say, all right, now we got to start thinking ahead, and obviously we joke. He's a veteran. He's experienced. I'm sure he knew right after that game there was a really good chance that he may be under center against Indiana here in this game tomorrow. 11 a.m. kick by the way. It's supposed to be a pretty nice day, kind of like today. I mean, I went outside today between 11 and 12, and it was beautiful out. So if that's what we're getting tomorrow, I'm okay with that. The Big Ten Network will be there. They're doing their big tailgate in the morning, their tailgate show. So for everyone that's out there bright and early, I'll be there. Are you going to be there early?
No, I will not.
Okay,
be there.
You don't want to be on the Big Ten Network?
I do, but I'll probably leave State Farm Center close to 11:30 or whatnot.
Just stay.
At midnight. Yeah.
That's what you ought to do, is just stick. Just stay.
Just go knock on somebody's camper and see if I can catch a few hours of sleep.
Dude, they'd love it.
If you got some Wi-Fi in there so I can write my story, whatever it might be.
I think that would be a great giveaway. Like have Piper spend an evening with you, and you can kind of see the behind the scenes of what he or how he covers an Illinois basketball game after it's done.
Yeah,
I think that'd be a great. I bet there's people right now lining up to say, "Oh, we'll take Piper in our camper."
Yeah, Kyle can hit us with some of the anybody that texts in 217-359-2255 U of I Atlanta League text line. I'll walk out 6 a.m. in somebody else's robe after. Spend the night at a camper, and I'll be like, "What's up, Lon? You want a fireball?"
Hey, the Pipes is here. He's here early. Like I'll get there, and you'll have everything set up. I'll be like, "This is a change," but it's nice. All right, listen. When we come back, Jay Layman could not join us today, but of course, he joins us on the best hour of radio. Of course, every Monday from 3 to 4, Jay had some things to say about these Hoosiers. So we'll hear from Jay Layman and what he had to say earlier this week. We'll also talk a little bit about Indiana. They're on their second quarterback. He's a freshman out of Texas, but he's looked pretty good the last couple of days. So we will find out more about Brendan Sorsby as well. Also, Illinois basketball tonight against Oakland. We'll talk plenty of that. We'll have Pipes kind of talk a little bit about what we can expect. This is an Oakland team, not trying to scare you, not trying to get you fired up, but it's an Oakland team that took Ohio State. I mean, they gave them everything
the
they could.
Yeah.
So
they led for a lot of that second half.
Okay.
And Ohio State had to battle back. I'm not trying, like you said, no one should be maybe like fearful of Oakland.
Right.
But I hope there's a tinge of like, or even more than that, for this team to wake up in the early going. I don't think they had any type of fear or thought that Eastern Illinois was going to beat them for any moment
Correct.
In that game. Oakland is good enough that if Illinois sleepwalks through the first 10 to 12 minutes again tonight like they did on Monday, they could be in for a really tough battle.
I'm going to bring over Chad Pitcher, one of the owners of Pia's, of course. He was always gracious to have us out here. Chad, we always appreciate you doing it, my friend. Thanks again.
Well, we welcome all of you. You know, this has been great all year long.
It's been great crowds all year long, and I think it'll fill up a little bit more outside, but everybody's inside right now. So what, do we have any coats we can give them and get them out here or what?
Well, we got sweatshirts for sale. That's the whole point of it. But yeah, we, you know, this has been a great crowd all year long, and, you know, great for the success of Illinois going right now as well. So
absolutely. That's the key there. I mean, this Illinois football team kind of helped us out with that win at Minnesota to get us a little more excited going forward, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, how everybody goes, it's – how they win, that's how we party, right?
Absolutely. Hey, last one for you, Chad. Explain the Pia's bus that you guys, you do this all the time where people can come here to Pia's, maybe have a couple before the game, and then you haul them over to State Farm Center and then bring them right back. That's a great thing that you guys do each year on that. So how does that work out? That's got to work out perfect all the time.
Oh, it's great. Like you come to Pia's 2-3 hours before the game. The bus always leaves 35 minutes before the game, but you can take a drink on the bus,
Perfect.
Eat and drink before the game, have some fun, or you know something, if you get a little drunk, you can stay, you don't, either way, but it's a great venue, it's a great deal. They pick you up here, drop you off over there, and they bring you back. So That's it's perfect. Been a great deal for years.
Well, and not having to deal with having to park and, if, you know, not only that, but getting away from a game afterwards with all the traffic can be a little bit of a pain as well. But Chad, thanks. As always, my friend, for Pia's. Thanks to Pia's for being a great partner with our show, and we just appreciate it, my friend.
Well, we appreciate all of you as well, and Diane Ducey as well, and Twisted Tea, and boys down there at it's Kerner Distributing now, but you know what I mean, but we appreciate both of you.
Good stuff, Chad. Thank you, sir. Great stuff. Always appreciate that, having Chad Pitcher out here to visit with. Old Kerner, they used to have the old, down in T-Town, they had the fast pitch team that probably beat us about maybe 29 out of 30 times, but always a fun always a fun group though to go have a beer with after the game. So that you know, anytime the T-Town boys came, you knew they were going to beat you, and then you knew they were going to be fun to visit and drink with after the game. So we always welcomed in the T-Town squads. Our pitchers didn't like it, but we did. It's like, what the heck? Let's score some runs. I don't. My headphones are giving me fits now, so I'm just going to take them off. How about that? Let's have you send it to break. Again, yep. We'll hear from what Jay Layman had to say earlier this week about the Indiana Hoosiers, learn a little bit more about them. And then the second hour, we got a little Brad Underwood we could play and also get your take on Greg Campy and his Oakland squad.
A lot to do. Come join us at Pia's, West Springfield Avenue. We've got specials, 350 Coors Light drafts, 1675 Coors Light buckets, 375 Twisted Tea cans, $5 Bullet rye and bourbon, and $4 Captain Morgan drinks. A lot of fun out here at Pia's. We'll be talking more Illinois, Indiana, as well as Illini versus Oakland tonight.
I'm calling an audible on you because Chad thought of one other thing he wants to bring up.
Let's
here.
Let's go.
Chad Pitcher, what else we got coming up at Pia's?
Well, we got turkey bowling. This is, I mean, I've been doing it for 25 years now and even prior before when I was here in the 90s. But we have turkey bowling the 21st.
Sweet.
It's sponsored by Curtis Stripping, Miller Lite, Coors Light as well. Come out, roll the Fullerton turkey. Starts at 7 o'clock. Actually, sign up to 7. We roll the turkey at 7:45. But on the 21st of November, rain or shine, we have heated tents. Bring yourselves out, your families, except leave the kids at home, and come on out and roll some frozen turkeys with us.
That's awesome. Thank you, sir. That is always fun. I know back in the day, Sullivan had a bar down there when we lived there that did that, the toy bar. That's right. And it's one of those where I had never heard of this. And the first time I went up there, I was like, you got to be kidding me. It was a blast. Is that right? 50
wow.
to 75 bowlers out here. That's
good prizes for male and female.
Okay. So great prizes and everything. That's the 21st. Make sure you're at P is the 21st. And as he mentioned, heated tents. That'll be nice. That's like, it's the 11th.
Yeah.
No, is today the 10th?
Today's the 10th. 10th, yep.
So that's like 11 days away. Tomorrow, of course, the 11th is Veterans Day. That's why Illinois is doing the Military Day. Also, Dad's Day, so a bunch of dads in town for this one.
Right.
So that'll be a fun day out at the tailgates and be a fun day inside Memorial Stadium.
Shall be. It's a fun day out here at Pia's. Come join us. Check us out. We got a lot more to do. Kyle, let's send us to break. It is The Drive.
Jeremiah 29:11 states, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." What a comfort we have in this passage, as the Lord is telling Jeremiah, "I care for you and will take care of you." If you are in despair and think you have no hope, pray to the Lord for guidance. See how your life can be changed and the lives of those around you. This message brought to you by the Blossom Basket Florist.
Since Busey Bank first opened our doors in 1868, we have built upon a tradition of close relationships and broad financial capabilities. Our experienced team provides the highest level of personalized service to ensure we accomplish your goals, simplifying your wealth management and business lending needs, and ensuring a legacy for generations. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Habitat for Humanity of Champaign County has been bringing people together to build homes, communities, and hope since 1991. To date, Habitat of Champaign has built 118 homes, but the need for safe, decent, and affordable housing is greater than ever. When you donate your time or money to Habitat or make a purchase from the Habitat Restore, you are empowering local families and helping them achieve the strength, stability, and self-reliance they need to build a bright future for themselves. For more information about Habitat for Humanity of Champaign, please visit CUHabitat.org.
By now, you've all heard the expression, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 for PDR Automotive. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR. But who are they? They, the PDR staff, understand that a name is only as good as the people that represent it. The PDR staff has more than 335 years of combined automotive experience, several employees now on staff for more than 25 years. PDR, more than just a name. Family owned and operated, now celebrating over 50 years in business.
There's an inviting holiday chill waiting for you at your local Merle Norman. The Holiday 2023 Color Collection is available now, featuring a gift-worthy Opal Eyes palette filled with 9 limited edition soft touch shadows. Pair your palette with 3 shades of crisp candy cane scented tinted lip balm, including a neutral cashmere cream, a dimensional plum shimmer, and a red sangria cream. Shop Holiday limited editions while supplies last. Merle Norman, 706 West Market View Drive.
Are you looking for something this holiday season for your customers that can say thank you from you, but at the same time showcase your business and their support? The hunt is over. We offer custom wrapped coolers and lasered mugs, tumblers, water bottles in all shapes, sizes, and colors. Call us at Aftershock, 833-DECAL-IT, or look us up online, AftershockDD.com. That's AftershockDD.com.
You've changed thousands of diapers, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw will help make it easy and affordable to help you protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw in Champaign-Urbana today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Tickets. What's the chances, Pipes, that I get to go to that game? I'm gonna guess not.
Pretty low.
How many did
pretty
he low. Win, Diane? Like 4-2. Yeah, I'm not going. There's no way I'm going to that. I tell you anymore though, that's from up there up top. I don't even know if I could see anymore. I just
get some Connor Stallion's binoculars.
Right. Is that going to be his next job? Is he going to come out with the Connor Stallion binoculars and like sell those nationwide?
Great.
I think it'd be. You just did it. You ought to just start that right now. You ought to just get a hold of him. I mean, heck, he was probably sitting by us in the horseshoe. We
Maybe.
Didn't even know it.
Maybe.
All right, we are live at Pia's. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper, and we are making our fourth appearance here at Pia's. We did the kickoff event, of course, had the 83 Rose Bowl reunion. That was September 1st. We had the Bullet Woody tailgate, the old Bullet Bourbon, on Friday, September 22nd. Then, of course, the homecoming event with the former players on Friday, October 20th. And now today, getting you ready for Dad's Day tomorrow, military, and, of course, basketball game tonight. A lot of stuff going on. Why is it that Illinois seems to win more on the road than they do at home? I mean, Brett Bielema's teams, I went through that list the other day. It's been a couple of weeks ago, but every year they seem to pull off a big victory on the road, and I'm talking a big one. And while Minnesota, you know, they've done that twice now, two and in 3 years they've gone up to Minneapolis and won a game. But When you look at the home schedule in the Big Ten, the home record for Brett Bielema, it's like 4-8. And then on the road, they've got like a winning record. I don't understand that. Why would that happen? Does anybody have an idea for that?
I don't know. I think you could try to like galaxy your brain your way into some explanation of like the coach speak way of it would be like, oh, it's when you're on the road, it's us against the world, and there's extra motivation and whatnot. And I don't think there is probably a reasonable way to say that, you know, this is a real difference of what's happening. So it's really tough to win on the road. I give them credit for pulling out those victories at Minnesota a few years ago at Penn State. So that ability to go on the road and get some victories is obviously a huge benefit. But there's no doubt that a game at home against Nebraska, a game at home a few years ago against Rutgers, it was right after you won at Penn State, you turned around and lost at home to Rutgers.
So.
Like, those are the ones that really, really sting.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
That's fair, because it's not an easy question. It's not a fair question, to be honest with you. And I don't even know if Brett Bielema would have a really good answer for that, although he's really good at it.
Yeah, and I think some people would try to sit there and say maybe Illinois' home record is better if their environment was more imposing, if it was really a place that intimidated people. But to get there, you have to have consistent winning football, which this program has not had since the 1980s, essentially. So I wouldn't sit here and blame fans. I mean, those that show up every Saturday obviously deserve to be rewarded with a good product, and thankfully they're starting to play better football. They have been the last 3 weeks, and I would let me turn this back on you and say that the Indiana game, how much does it, I don't want to say scare you, but how much are you sitting there respecting Indiana and saying, hey, they could pull this thing off? You would hope that on paper, even without Luke Altmyer, if that's going to be the situation, that Illinois could win this game and just worry about going to Iowa afterwards. But Indiana's been playing better football, and I can't sit here and say, hey, it's definitely a game that Illinois will win.
I appreciate the fact that both teams are playing better football, and you just mentioned that. Certainly Indiana had Penn State. I mean, in the fourth quarter, they were right there with them. And then, of course, we need to thank Indiana for the win over Wisconsin, because we got to become big Rutgers fans tomorrow at Iowa, and somehow there is a way Illinois could creep back in and somehow tie for the Big Ten West. And you never know, I guess, in that situation. So, yeah, I'm a little worried about Indiana. There's no doubt, especially without Altmyer. And I hope John Paddock, I hope tomorrow when I get back out to the tailgate lots after that game, I'm like, well, maybe we have a quarterback controversy here, because John Paddock played really well today. I don't think that'll be the case. Luke Altmyer has had a fantastic season in his first year with Illinois. But I think the thing that comforts me a little bit, and we are weird as fans how we do this, is the idea of that game that occurred last year in Bloomington. First of all, Indiana's beaten you four straight times. Now, they hadn't played in like 5 years, but they've beaten you four straight times. Now, that's got to end. We got to get that done. But I think there's a chip on the shoulder of a lot of these Illinois football players from last year. Now, luckily, that didn't spoil the fun. I mean, they still win eight games. They still go to a great bowl game down in Tampa. But it's always that what if, right? The entire season we kept saying, what if? Did that ruin and did that spoil the Big Ten West Championship? Did that spoil you a chance to go play in Indianapolis? Obviously, you had all that in front of you, and you created those own issues. But I think because of that loss to Indiana last year, I'm comforted a little bit as a fan in knowing that this team's not going to overlook Indiana. And I think they've got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder to get some revenge.
I would hope so. I do want to say that, for as jarring as it is to sit here, I'm in my North Face, and we're in the shade. It's breezy. It's chilly. And to see you in shorts is very jarring.
It's
even more jarring, the fact of that you've lost, what, four or five straight to Indiana? What'd you say?
Four. I think I read four today.
Four straight to Indiana. That might be even more jarring than that. So, man, that just doesn't seem right. So, yeah, I do think that there is, for those that played on last year's team, of course you can't include a guy like John Paddock,
right,
if Luke Altmyer
were
to be available, Caden Fagan and that.
Exactly.
There are new faces on this team that weren't.
I bet Isaiah wants them.
I would say Isaiah would be involved in that for sure. Keith Randolph, Johnny Newton.
Yes.
And how great it's going to be to finally get to see a full game of both of those guys. It feels like it's been a long time since that's happened as well. So, yeah, you compare it and partner it with the fact that you lost there last year, so it should be motivation. And then Indiana should have your attention, because you know how good Penn State is, and the fact that they had the Nittany Lions eye to eye there late in the fourth quarter at Happy Valley, and then they did something that you couldn't do, which was beat Wisconsin at home in the absence of Tanner Mordecai. So those are things that you look at this Indiana team and say, yeah, usually it's not a game that you are going to get maybe super excited about in terms of the pecking order on your schedule, but I do think that this is one you at least respect what the football that they're playing, similar to, I would imagine, the Hoosiers are thinking the same thing.
I just had like a Lute Olson moment, like, and a Bob Knight moment back in the day when, like, probably the same thought they had when these two guys walked into a gym. The Johnson brothers are here. Brian and Lucas are down. I had invited them to come to Pia's. They weren't sure if they could get here, but obviously they're skipping work. So they're down here and well-equipped. I see that. They're ready to go today, which is awesome. So we've got to visit with them here in a second for sure, so they can get on with their day. The one thing I do want to do before we get these guys on real quick is to hear from Jay Layman, who we had talked with obviously Monday regarding this Indiana team. Here's what Jay had to say about the Hoosiers.
Indiana beat us last year, but we were a vastly better team. They fired Walt Bell. God bless Walt Bell. I've covered Walt Bell at Maryland, at UMass. Now we, it was the coordinator then at Indiana got fired during the bye week October 5th. Rod Carey takes over. Rod Carey's giving them an offensive identity a little bit. Guys, they got some Donovan McCulley's a good receiver. They got Jalen Lucas, who's kind of like an Isaiah Williams guy.
They always have good receivers.
Brendan Sorsby's got the quarterback job. Guys, they had a pass play for 90 yards, 60 yards, and 30 yards against a Penn State defense that up in that time they gave up one play over 40 yards.
Wow.
They were in a one-score game with Penn State in Happy Valley, okay? So they're vastly improved. I would say this. We have a big advantage in the trenches if we're healthy and Johnny's playing, and we can run the football much better than him. Usually, if you can run the ball better and stop the run better, you're going to win the game. But that, you know, that doesn't guarantee we're going to win.
Right.
We got to take care of biz. Haven't won two games in a row all year. So we can lose this game.
Yeah.
I mean, we can lose any game. We can win any game, and we can lose any game. I thought the way we played the last 2 weeks is how the whole season would be. Even against Kansas.
They have played
even
well.
Against Penn State. I thought you could go either way. That's why I said this team could win five games, which it looks like they're at least going to do that, we mm-hmm. hope. Mm-hmm. Or they could have won 10 games. Now, they played like trash the first six weeks. They weren't a good football team. That Nebraska game was the worst Illinois football I've seen in a very long time. But they learned from it.
Yep.
They didn't stay on the mat. I said if they play like they play against Nebraska, they ain't going to beat anybody. That's the truth. But they've gotten better. They got a quarterback they can build around. In college football, if you got a quarterback, you got a chance.
Amen. Amen. Is what I said to that. Jay Lammon just going off there on Indiana, which is great. And we will hear more and talk more about Illinois and Indiana, of course, coming up tomorrow, 11 a.m. That is what brings the Johnson boys down. I want to start with, let's start with Brian real quick, because he's the reason you guys are down here. Obviously, Brian, your daughter is a sophomore now at the University of Illinois. Is that right?
Kylie's a sophomore. It makes me feel old. I don't talk about it on the air very often, but yeah, she is.
Well, you guys look great. Obviously, fitness is a big thing for the Johnsons. You guys are both skinny as can be and look like you could still play, my man.
Well, we've got daughters and they will have boyfriends, and so we got to stay in shape for a little while.
That's why I'm fat, because I had two boys. Now I'm starting to understand this.
Lon, stop. With your stunning good looks, we always thought you'd end up on television.
Oh.
Radio, though, is a perfect spot for Lucas's radio face.
Well, no arguments here on that one. We're having fun. I want to keep having fun, so I want to get this out of the way first. I want to ask you both about the passing of Bob Knight. Obviously, you guys, I mean, I still remember, Brian, that game when you guys went over there and basically clinched the Big Ten. Yeah. And it was an amazing game. And, of course, Knight had three, somehow, technicals. And I know, I read this the other day in an article. I'm like, wait, he had three. I don't think he can get three. But you were there. Lon Kruger tried to keep you guys like, hey, let's focus on the game.
Yeah.
What was it like to go against Bob Knight? And then, you know, obviously I had some not so great things to say about him, obviously, through the years. So what was it like for you guys to play against Bob?
Yeah, what was interesting about Bob Knight is he was the coach who would show up in our team's huddle before the game to passive-aggressively wish us luck.
Oh, nice.
But to intimidate us. And he'd get real close to you and kind of look down at you. He's a big guy, barrel chest, you know. But he had that kind of old school way about him, you know. And that game in particular over in Bloomington, I remember that, you know, Knight had some run-ins with the referees, eventually got tossed out of the game. Coach Kruger pulled our whole team over towards the bench, kind of, no, don't worry about that. But at that time, I was checking into the game.
Oh.
So I was at the scores table taking it all in. And so if you see pictures of this whole thing happening, I'm there like, what? And the rest of our squad's like in the huddle.
You know?
And so I remember that vividly. And, you know, he had that same intimidation factor with referees or whatever. Yeah. But what's interesting about Coach Knight is if you knew his players, if you talked to them, they loved playing for him, you know?
Crazy.
And so you have to at some point give some credibility to that as well. You know, those guys talked really highly of him. They chose to play for him. They played hard for him. They won for him. And they were there because they wanted to be there, you know. And I know that
that's
there's not true of everyone, but on the balance, people love playing for him. And I respected him for that and those players for sharing that, you know. And so I always held him as one of those old school but guys who had charisma and had a presence that people wanted to play for.
To that point, and I'll have you hand the microphone to Lucas Johnson. To that point, we talked to Stephen Bardo the other day, and Derek asked him, "Would you have wanted to play for Bob Knight?" And Bardo's like, "No, he would not have wanted to play." Now, Lucas, you were always a little bit, I mean, I don't know how you explain Lucas Johnson's game, but it was definitely intimidating, such as Bob Knight himself. Brian's beating himself over the head. That's probably what it was like to watch Lucas play. But you probably would have loved playing for Coach Knight.
Absolutely. And I think, here's the thing, I think with Coach Knight, especially in today's society, he comes across as just a bully and there's no way he could possibly coach today's players. You're probably right. He probably couldn't coach today's players. But back then, it was an absolutely different game. I would have loved to play for Coach Knight. Here's the thing. If you were willing to run through a wall for Coach Knight, yep. Coach Knight loved you. And a lot, you know, so you didn't need to be the most skilled player. You need to not make mistakes, and you needed to play really, really hard. I'm like, I had one of those two. I played really, really hard. I made a bunch of mistakes, but I played really, really hard. And a lot of times I made up for it. But I honestly think, like, today, you know, a Coach Knight would not exist in today's society, which, in my opinion, is unfortunate. He groomed men, you know, he groomed boys into men, and a lot, like Brian said, like, those guys loved playing for him. There's not a lot of guys outside of Neil Reed who would say that, you know, who would say that they didn't like playing for him. I went to, you know, a couple camps with those guys and Big Ten trips, all-star trips overseas, and like, Kirk Hastin's like, yeah, I love the guy. I'm like, dude, you're like the most, like, you know, he's the most centered guy, doesn't do anything, doesn't drink, doesn't anything. He's like, yeah, I love the guy. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, it didn't make sense, but those guys all loved him.
What was going to Bloomington like during the Knight era, just in terms of the fan base and everything? I know it's still one of the better environments in college basketball, but I bet during that era of time was probably a different level.
Well, and here's the thing. It didn't even need to be during the Knight era, but I remember going there, and literally it was, you know, a lot of words that I can't repeat over the air to the five people that are listening.
I know.
No, there's one, two, three, four. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just playing. But the fans themselves were on me, which was great. I loved it because, you know, they're like, oh, you suck, Johnson, you F you, blah, blah. And I'm like, listen, I go, if you got in my head and I didn't score my 3 points and get my 4 rebounds, I think our team's going to be fairly successful. I'm like, all I'm doing is drawing attention away from Frank, who's going to go score 30 on you. I'm like, this is great. But here's the thing. I loved going to those environments. I think Brian did too. Like, Brian was very similar to me. Like, those environments were awesome. And the greatest thing was, is that we got to come home to probably one of the best environments there was in Assembly Hall. And it's even better now with the configurations and all of that. Like, the Orange Crush, The Orange Crush made a lot of other places seem tame, in my opinion.
Lucas, I want to ask you one more before I get Lon and then Brian back in. But
what did Brian do to Lucas when he was young? Like, for Lucas to end up like he was? I'm going to let Brian think about that.
How much time you got, Lon?
No, right. I mean, I want to know the abuse you put this poor kid through.
Shaved his eyebrows, gave him rug burns on his forehead. There were other things.
He did do that.
Bill Self was back recently, the Illinois-Kansas exhibition game. I want to get your guys' opinions maybe before we let you go about the team and being able to win that game. But Bill Self coming back to Champaign, what did you think about that and just your time playing for Bill?
Yeah, so I actually was fortunate enough to come down to the game and bring my daughter. And it was a really cool experience for me to be able to kind of share that with her, show her the new practice facility, show her the new, you know, what is new to me, Assembly Hall. It'll always be the hall. Sorry, State Farm Center. But like, Coach Self, I was actually really happy that he got the response and warm welcoming that he did.
Agree.
Whether that was because Dickinson was next to him and any response was going to be better than the response that Hunter got. But it was really, really cool to see Coach Self back
in Champaign.
Yeah.
If I'm honest, like, I know there's a lot of, you know, Illinois fans that hold resentment towards him. They hold resentment towards him because he was a really, really good coach.
Amen.
And he made the best decision for him. And, you know, you can't blame him for that. He's clearly done really, really well for himself.
Since yes, then. He has. Yes, he has.
You know, nothing wrong with a lifetime contract. You know, I have that, but I'm a teacher. But, so the pay isn't the same.
Not quite the same. Yeah.
Not quite the same. But, like, it was really, really cool to see him. It was really cool to introduce my, you know, kind of introduce my daughter to him.
Right.
Like, that was a little cool and strange at the same time because I don't get, you know, last time I saw Coach Self was at Arch's funeral.
Wow.
And I'm like,
that's right.
I'm like, this isn't the greatest time to see you. And like the time before that was 10 years before that. So like, mm-hmm. I don't get to see him all that much. So when he was back in town, it was great. I'll tell you this, Illinois looked damn good in that game. And anybody who wants to put the exhibition label on that game wasn't at that game. That was a both of those teams were trying to win that game.
Big time.
Like, there were plenty of guys on the Illinois bench and the Kansas bench that didn't see time
Mm-mm.
because they were trying to win that game. And so it was a really nice win for Illinois.
Yes.
Even if they didn't win, they fought and fought and fought. And to be in a game against a top-tier team like that, that shows a lot of promise for the Illinois basketball team.
That's no doubt. I'm going to have you hand the mic to Brian. Excuse me, Brian Johnson and Lucas Johnson are here at Pia's with us. Chuck Smith here as well. So just as an FYI, he brings the liquor. So we got to say hi to Chuck. Are you kidding me?
Hi, Chuck.
Chuck. Brian, I got to ask you. This is an older team this year. This Illinois team, and of course you with Kevin Turner, you know Hester and those guys. You guys had that older team when you won the Big Ten, and of course Lucas.
There is someone who remembers that team.
I have Brian's autograph, you know, and yours. I got both your autographs at the office with the Big Ten championship. Sure, that's kind of cool that you both won. Of course, Lucas will brag about his
team. I won too.
Here we go. Yeah, I knew I was setting that up. Sorry, Brian.
Thanks.
What does it mean to have experience like that for a team? And I know it means like at the end of a game you're not gonna, you know, whatever, just blow it down the stretch, but how big and how important is that to have guys that have been through the wars?
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, I remember playing on a team with five seniors that logged a lot of minutes, and it felt like you had five extensions of your coach on the floor, and you get the advantage of having seen things and having been through that, obviously. And you know, there's some intangibles that come with time served, you know, and so to have this team be an older team, to have some more experience, to have been through some of those things, you feel like some of those rookie mistakes are behind them and some of those, you know, wiser, veteran, savvy plays are ahead of them and kind of maybe in store for us this season. And so it's an anchoring, kind of some lead in your keel, you know, and coaches love that. You know, you get a little more extension of that coach presence on the floor. And so when you get that amongst, you know, one, two, three, maybe even five guys on the court, that's a pretty effective equation, you know.
Brian, was it like playing with Lucas? And I hear a lot of stories from Lon. You know, when Georgie was here, you talk about the personalities. Like, oh, man, Lucas, Demir, those guys were just on their own level. So what was that like?
Yeah, well, I feel mildly personally responsible because I hosted all of them in the recruiting trips. And I'm like, what a dude. Well, I feel like I should be held accountable for this. Yeah, but then they all turned into, I mean, well, Lucas has been my brother, but the rest of those guys turned into my friends, and I watched them play and was still around when they were playing, you know. And so I stuck around and played with them, like at off-season conditioning and some stuff, some of that kind of stuff. That was a lot of fun. You know, by the time they were successful, I'm thinking, these guys are so big and so fast and so strong compared to like when I played, you know, like it just keeps improving and keeps increasing, you know. But it was fun to cheer them on and
Absolutely.
Call them friends and to be able to kind of go from being on the court to sitting in the stands and being an Illini fan.
Did you hear about the record that Brian holds?
No. Uh-oh.
Oh, a little bit. Here's a little Illini trivia for you. You guys know a lot about Illini sports. A lot. I would claim an elite level of knowledge about Illini sports.
Except,
do you guys know who the only person is
in Illini athletics history to ever earn two athletic scholarships?
Well, I'm going to guess Brian Johnson.
The answer is Brian Johnson. I earned mine and Lucas's.
Oh! Boom! Now, I should just end it right there is what I should do. I should just end it. And you just drop the mic. I don't want it to break. Let's don't do that. What, last question, and that's good. What is it like to come back now for you guys? Obviously, everybody still remembers you guys and all the winning that occurred with the Johnsons in uniform. But what is it like to come back now and just kind of take it all in?
Well, the funny thing is when I came back for the game with Coach Self in Kansas – with my daughter, like people came up to me and they're talking to me and asking me questions and asking for autographs. And my daughter's like, ew. I honestly think her,
that's weird,
her response is like, ew. Like, why does anyone want A, to talk to you, B, your right. autograph? Like, you're just dad. Like, and that's not even that impressive. Like, right. It was kind of a cool experience because it definitely brought me back down to earth a little bit. But I love sharing it with them and love sharing it with my wife. My wife was a college basketball player, so coming back to campus and hanging with them. I just love – I love what Coach Underwood's building.
Yes.
I love that we're finally to a point that I feel that we're moving in the right direction and kind of building on every single year, which is great. I think we got the right guy at the helm.
I agree.
And we're no longer that team that is, are we going to make the NCAA tournament?
My goodness.
Here's the thing. When I came in my freshman year, we sucked. Like, we were awful. Like, and we won three games in the Big Ten.
Yes.
Hey, and we still almost made the Big Ten. We still almost made the NCAA tournament by winning the Big Ten tournament. That was a bad year, but it was every other year was, all right, who are we playing? What is our seed? It wasn't a question of, are we going to make it? And I think we're getting to that point where now it's like, all right, We are an NCAA tournament team. We're a top five team in the Big Ten every single year, which is just so much fun to see. Oh, God.
The other owner appears, walked in, and Lucas, like, started to cringe, like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I bet he had that troubled look back in the day. I got to ask you guys one more question. The transfer portal and NIL. Now, Lucas, I know you were a little bit flashier, I think, in terms – I don't even know how to say that – than Brian. Brian just did his job and just did it well. Lucas kind of got the attention, you know, oh, look, he drew another charge. But the NIL and the – he's right. Eric Meyer's now telling stories about Lucas. This is going to be fun here. We got to get Lucas out of here. He's like – he's going to scale that fence on the way
out. I'm
going
to be no longer a teacher after this.
But what you guys see this portal, you see this NIL, that's crazy, isn't it?
Well, and kind of two completely separate issues. I think the portal scares me because we're just teaching this generation that, hey, if things aren't going well, abandon it, bail on it.
Go to the next
one. Go somewhere else.
Yep.
Like, I got the idea of it when, hey, the implementation of it was for when coach leaves.
Sure.
And you kind of signed on because that coach was there, and they're no longer there. All right, you have the ability to leave. Great. But the floodgates opened, it's just like, all right, I didn't get enough playing time this year. Suck it up and work harder.
Right.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, we're basically just grooming a bunch of pansies.
Yep.
Like, it's kind of pathetic. But the NIL stuff, I'll tell you this. My face would have been on so many Cam's billboards. I would have been the home of the drinking Illini back in the day. And Eric Meyer would have been paying me a pretty penny.
That is awesome.
Right?
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
I also might have been kicked out of college if we had Instagram back in the day.
So, how much money would D. Brown have made on NIL?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
He was the face of college basketball.
Yes, absolutely. And it amazes me to the level that it went as quickly as it went. Like, there was no, like, trickle.
Right.
It was like, all right, we're just,
you
know, faucets open, let's go. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, these guys are just, they're making what? Just for being on the team?
It's
I'm like,
amazing.
You don't even play. Like,
it's amazing. It really is. All right, let's go back to Brian Johnson for one more. I'm just going all over the place with questions here, but I've always wanted to ask you this. I've always wanted to ask you this. And by the way, we are live at Pia's here at WSJK, Tuscola, Champaign, Urbana, ESPN 93.5, the home of the St. Louis Cardinals. Of course. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, no. Now we're going to get Lucas singing. This is scary. I want to ask you about your Big Ten championship team,
yes,
Brian,
sir.
And I know, Lucas, you won, too. I get that. But that year with Matty Heldman and what he was able to accomplish, and it's amazing that you both have lost great friends and great teammates in terms of Robert Archibald and Matt Heldman. But what happened, you know, like just what Matt was as a player, and also Kevin Turner, who I feel like kind of came here because of Bryant Notree, right?
Yeah,
and then turned into a legit scorer in the Big Ten, and I know there's more and more and more, but those two guards, Brian, what was it like playing with those two guys?
Oh, they put so much pressure on teams. You know, they both could extend their range. They could both shoot the three with killer precision, right? And Matt was a floor general, you know, not just a shooter, right? And so people, you know, sometimes we can think of Matt as draining threes. We watched him do that quite a bit, but he was Coach Kruger on the floor, you know?
Yeah,
and the rest of us looked to him to get it going and to get us in order and to set the stage. And so Matt really was our coach on the floor. And then Kevin, he just had sneaky scoring game,
man.
Like, you watch some of these guys in the NBA and you just kind of look at them, you're like, they're just a scorer. They're not a shooter or a driver or whatever. They're just a scorer. That was Kevin.
That was him.
Kevin had mid-range game. He had distance game.
Yep.
He'd score inside. He'd go and get fouled and go to the foul line. And he'd put 15 points on you at the foul line. Kevin had a bad game.
He
was really a scorer. And, yeah, Kevin was a little bit of a, oh, yeah, this, you know, Bryant Notree's friend's going to come
here.
What? Kevin Turner was an anchor for our squad.
He was unbelievable.
I mean, he was the only reason we got out of the Kohl Center with a win, not to mention other games, right? And Kev was tough, man. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Kev's not putting up 30 at the YMCA
right,
leagues right now.
Right.
Like, it wouldn't shock me at all.
Okay, now I got to be equal, and then this is it, because I see the glass is almost empty here, so we got to get you guys.
There's always refills.
Got to get you back inside.
Hey, bartender, Joe Boone needs a refill.
Lucas, it was great to see Frank back, wasn't it? It was good to see Frank back. What was it like? I mean, we talk about Kevin and Matt and those guys. What was it like to play with Frank? I've always said he might be the best player I've ever seen at Illinois, just what he could do. What was that like to play with him?
Oh, I know I'm biased, but bar none, he's the best player to ever play, ever put on an Illinois basketball uniform. Like, and the crazy thing is, he didn't even try.
No.
Like, when he tried, he put up 30.
Yeah.
And then when he didn't, Coach Self wanted to strangle him and kill him. I remember, so specific story, we're playing Seton Hall at home.
Oh, yeah.
And we're down 19 at half. You know, we're ranked 5 in the country. They're ranked like 6 or 4 or something like that.
Yep. Eddie Griffin was it?
Yeah, exactly. And we're down 15 at half. We come in, maybe even 19 at half. We come into the locker room. Coach Self puts Frank behind him. He goes, "Listen, guys." He goes, "You know what? F this guy. We don't need him."
Wow, he's talking about Frank?
Yeah. He's like, "You know what, Frank? You do your own thing. We don't need him." He goes, "He's doing his own game. He doesn't even care, whatever. Guys, it's us. That's all we got."
Wow.
That's all we got. So we walk out. We go out halftime. We start half. Frank scores the first 10 points. Frank runs by. He goes, "Is that good enough?" I go, I'm like, "Could you just do that all the time?"
Like, that's amazing.
He was that good.
Yes.
He could turn it on and off. I'm like, "Can you just rust it on?" Like,
right.
I go, "Frank, mine is rusted on and I suck." Like, I go, I'm trying as hard as I possibly can, and I'm like a third of the player you are.
It's amazing.
It really did amaze me. He was that gifted and that talented, and when he wanted to do it and when he wanted to play, he was there was no question why he was the Big Ten Player of the Year. Yeah. The only question was why he wasn't the National Player of the Year.
I love it. I was very honored to be able to cover both these guys in college, and it was fun, and they won at a high level. Brian Johnson, Lucas Johnson, thanks so much for coming by, guys. Means the world to me, and it means the world to our listeners and Pipes. I mean, it's fun to catch up with you guys always. Have fun. I'll see you tomorrow morning, I know, at some point.
Absolutely.
Lucas Johnson, good stuff, buddy. Great stuff, my man. Brian, thanks, buddy. Great to see you. That is awesome. What a duo. What a duo for Illinois sports with Brian and Lucas Johnson and what they were able to accomplish, Derek Piper. Are you starting to get the sense that you wish you would have been covering some of these
no,
teams?
Oh, no, 100%. I'm so I got the FOMO really bad, fear of missing out, although I know I missed out, so that's unfortunate.
Time. They were wonderful and wanted a not only great guys, but wanted a high level. All right, Kyle is mad at me because he's like, you've got to take a break soon. So we're going to do that. We're going to send it back to Kyle. You take a break. Next hour, we'll talk some more Illini basketball, obviously, and get you ready for Indiana and Illinois tomorrow at 11 a.m. We'll do it all next. It is The Drive.